shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are here, and we know, Lord, we recognize you, and that puts us in the class where we are not as those of whom you said, behold, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers your chickens, but you would not, having sent unto them prophets and scribes and wise men. And you sent us a prophet, Lord, and you gave us a fivefold ministry, and we know that we are gathered according to the message and shall not come into condemnation. We understand, Lord, also the Son of Man and the Son of the Perdition Ministries, twins, having been here and are here. We also recognize your great presence since the prophet left us, that you are somewhere, not necessarily in this building, though you could be, but you could be in Africa, Australia, anywhere personally. We know that that really doesn't matter, but the fact does matter that you are the head of the church, and we have come up to you by this word, Lord, now to the very place where soon the head and the body must come together at the great wedding supper, and that life that it will be manifested as never before. We appreciate that, knowing, Lord, that if you brought us this far, surely, Lord, we are a part of that bride, and because you do not reveal your secrets to anyone but those, and if there are others who would come in by a general knowledge, it still would not be the same, because we know that this is life, whereas the other, it is just a matter of argument, a matter of looking at it and wondering about it. With us, Lord, it is life or death. Live, die, swim, or sink. And Father, we know that we are not dying, but we're living for the inner man being renewed, which will one day overcome the outer man. And we know, Lord, that we are swimming, though it seems very, very poorly. It seems maybe we're not doing too well, but just the same, we are. And by your grace, Lord, we will be taken out of the deep the way Paul was and come up onto the dry land of the resurrection and back to the millennium. We're looking for this, Father, because we believe your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to take a little help, perhaps a final look at leadership, because last Sunday we took a great number of scripture, and I read very, very rapidly, and there were perhaps some things that should have been said in order to bring in a more smoother connection and understanding. So, to begin our recap of last Sunday's thoughts on leadership, we want to use Brother Branham's own statements that he proves by vindication. Now, Brother Branham makes these statements, and they're proven by vindication. And that's what we're looking at, as few people look at. Now, I say again, and I say it without trying to be proud or exerting myself here, but the fact of the matter is I've had people who sat under ministries for years and years hear one tape that I preach and say, Brother Vail, for the first time I really understand vindication and stay where we and see where we stand. If anybody in this church has not had that experience wherein you stand by the vindication of God given to William Branham, I don't know where you're coming from. I have a hunch where you're going. And you're just going to be very, very solid with this, because we have no time to fool. We are looking at God himself. We're not looking at a bunch of people so-called full of the Holy Ghost running around forming a conference, brethren coming together, and say, we'll solve this. It never has and never has been that way. Now, there's no, as old John Smuts said years ago, if Moses had been a committee, the children of Israel would still be in Egypt. The pooling of brains, in spite of the fact that it says the multitude there lacketh not wisdom, does not mean the pooling of the brains brings wisdom. It means if you've got a lot of people, for heaven's sake, there must be somebody there that's not stupid. And Paul told him how to get that smart man. He said, pick the fellow least likely to be the guy with the answer out of even a church of several thousand. And if he's the kind of man he ought to be, knowing he's the least likely, he's the one that will call upon God and depend upon God and get an answer. So Brother Branham preaches on vindication, just the same as the Apostle Paul did. So I say, to begin our recap of last Sunday's thoughts on leadership. That's the sermon. We want to use Brother Branham's own statements that he himself proves by vindication, where he has been positioned by God. In other words, the vindication of God has positioned him. Now let's go to the scripture that the people know lies in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now, dearly beloved, we would love to have some men in the church appointed. Will we all come together and pool our spiritual resources and our fine mental understanding of all of these things, and we will now get somebody from amongst us. That's not how it's done. Before there was a speck of stardust, before even a human child is born, the sperm and the egg, which is nothing but a product of the spirit, the soul, the genetic pattern of the soul working on substances. And the child will come forth good, bad, or indifferent, male or female, or even a hermaphrodite, or God knows what anymore. Before there was any evidence of physicality. So, if you think, when God, through the Apostle Paul, is referring to the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ as the body of Christ, and that body is dissimilar in the sense you cannot actually compare it to a human body, then why in the name of heaven would God even use the term body? You say, well, maybe he's thinking of something else. I should have read previously, the body's many members, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand. Do you know that God has feet? Because he's got a footstool. And he's got a hand. Two of them, left and right, and he stretches forth his hand. I am not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, and God's got an ear, his ear is ever open to the cry of his people. And he's got an eye, because he leads them with his eye. And that's why Brother Branham said God was the first man. If your soul and my soul has a gene from God, and the original one did, God would be a traitor, I would say, to his own self if he had made a man, Adam, without two eyes and two ears and a nose, and looks almost exactly like you and me, because the serpent looked almost exactly like us. Be very, very strange, wouldn't it? So, all right. Scripturally, God does the placing. So, William Branham could not have himself taken a position of leadership and authority unto himself and made it stick. Especially with God in the elect, because the time would come when God would expose him. And the time would never be where the true elect could be deceived, because the Bible says that is impossible. And we're talking about this very hour. Now let us go to 1 Corinthians 14. And we read 36 to 37. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet, one of the fivefold ministry, or any part of the fivefold ministry, or spiritual, he's born again, and therefore he's got spiritual insight. Now listen, this spiritual insight that this man claims to be born again comes from the scripture we read and will read again, that says when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will have an anointing, you will be taught, led into truth. Paul, who calls the words of Jesus Christ the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ, now either is speaking in tune with him, or he is a liar. A very fastidious crook, an ultimate deceiver, because he's vindicated. And he said, if you are part of the fivefold ministry, or spiritual part of the body of Christ, because that's what he's talking about, let him acknowledge that the things that I write and nobody else writes is the Word of God. And nobody else has it. For the Gentiles. Oh, I love it. And people read the book. Oh, they drool over that. Oh, they love that. They eat that up. And it's only death to them. You know why? Because they confess they believe it when they have to face it. They're liars. And we'll show it to you. Merciful heavens, this is a tough thing. And then he says, if any man be ignorant, if he doesn't know this, leave him be that way. Don't try to tell him anything. So if he can't see vindication, move on. Shut up and forget it. Hey, you didn't think I could be that tough, did you? I'm like the Apostle Paul. Mean as the buzzsaw. But he wasn't mean. And I'm not mean either. Because, hey, look. What I do, I stand on my 2 feet. What you do, you stand on yours. Number one. It is clearly understood that on June 11, 1933, which is a 7, ending an era and beginning a new one. It is clearly understood that on June 11, 1933, a rainbow-like cloud appeared over him. It was round, by the way. A round rainbow. Anybody ever flown to the Bermudas in summertime? And been above those beautiful white clouds, you look down, you see a perfect rainbow, a round rainbow. First time I saw one, I loved it, and if I ever see one again, I'll love it again. Just what came down to Paul. Rainbows come down like this, and they're merely an arc. They seem to come out of the ground, and they go back in the ground, but it's not so. The rainbow is made by the water that falls from heaven, and the sun shines upon it. But you get a real rainbow. The bow in the cloud is not an arc, it's round. It came down over Brother Branham. People got terribly scared. It appeared over him as distinctly as did the light from the pillar of fire strike Paul. You say, just a minute, how do you know? Because William Branham was just as vindicated or more vindicated than the Apostle Paul. Said the same things and did the same things. Or the light in the burning bush appeared to Moses, wherein God spoke to Moses and Paul, who themselves later disclosed what was said. For no other person heard what was said. Now remember, when Jesus said, Father, glorify me, a voice from heaven said, I have glorified thee and will further glorify thee. Nobody really heard a voice. They just said it thundered. Nobody heard the voice at the time Paul was smitten. They heard a noise. Now, when you got 2 out of 3, you better believe that the third one's identical. That's with Moses. And when you got it with number 4, which was Reverend William Branham, prophet of God, it will be the same. See? So when this light spoke to them, God spoke. It was Moses, Paul, and Brother Branham who disclosed what was said. For no other person what was said, because the message was not to the people. It was to the person who would then deliver it to the people. So it was spoken by God to William Branham, and then disclosed to us, and what was said was, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, so your message will forerun the second coming of Christ, which Brother Branham later told us was his ministry, which was a message. This immediately made Brother Branham a messenger. No man can be a messenger if he has no message. You know, the messenger comes from the telegraph office, bangs on the door. You look out and you say, oh, you have a message. Well, he said, no, I really don't. He said, why, you got messenger's clothes on? What are you doing here? A messenger without a message? That's completely asinine. So no man can be a messenger if he has no message. Neither can anyone come with a message and not be a messenger to you. The alternate is right. It is evident that if we are actually receiving a message from God, then William Branham was a messenger from God to this generation. And clearly, if he is, he would have to be the messenger of the age that ends in the rapture, which precedes the second coming, because that's what he said. The first coming was preceded by John. The second is preceded by a message. And that age would have to be the seventh age, and he would have to be Revelation 7:10, as based in Revelation 3:14. Now, in Revelation 3:14, it tells you categorically that's the seventh church age. It's the last one. See? And unto the messenger, which is in the church of Laodicea, write. That's in the Laodicean age and part of it. These things saith the Amen, the finisher-upper. It's all going to conclude now. Now, he's on earth. But watch what happens in that 10th chapter. And I saw a mighty messenger come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. So that's the same one sitting on the throne of Revelation 5. Revelation 4, it's the same thing. You go over there and you want to see it. Revelation 5. And I saw on the right hand to him that sat upon the throne. Who's sitting upon the throne? Verse 2 of Revelation 4. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one that sat upon the throne was like to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and a rainbow around about the throne in sight like an emerald. That's your ambers and your greens coming out. So I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So now he comes down here, he's the one with the rainbow. And the rainbow is a covenant. And the rainbow covenant I will destroy again, but not by water. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells you it's going to be by fire. And so he's come on down. Now notice when he comes down, and there's going to be fire, and fire is always the tail end. It's the last thing that is done. There's nothing you can do about it. It's going to end in fire. The new civilization comes in not by water, but by fire. See, there's no need for a baptism. They're already baptized. There's no converts coming in. They already come or gone. It's the end of an era. 6,000 years, what God wanted to do, and all these trillions of years gone by, that's God's business. It's over. So now it's going to be by fire. The earth is going to be cleansed, and then it's going to be completely dissolved. And at that time, there's going to be a lake of fire, which the serpent seed does not have a body that can stand fire, except for a little while. And they'll be destroyed. And notice in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God had declared the good news of the gospel to his servants the prophets. Now, when was the first declaration? To the apostle Paul. And it went completely haywire, with the wrong spirit, a wrong gospel, a wrong Jesus. So that wasn't declared by God. So this fellow here is at the time when the gospel runs out, as God declared by the prophets. So this fellow on earth has got to be identified with the prophets that brought the word that God is sustaining and bringing to pass. Not some word that somebody else has and calls it the Word of God by mistranslation, misinterpretation, but the Word as God has believed and set forth His own Word and revealed it is going to come to pass. Now you tell me a time when God didn't have to come down here Himself to a prophet and do the thing right. You're not going to get people to believe what I'm telling you. There's no way they can believe it. There's no way. If I preach to 1,000 people, there'd be 2 people sitting there at the most to believe it. If you get 1,000th of 1% of Christianity, there's close to 2 billion of them. See? So it's got to be Revelation 10:7 based upon 3:14. Secondly, according to His own declaration, again based on vindication, He was born and ordained to be a leader. This was behind the curtain of time. The angel appeared to him and said, "You are born to be a leader." Now putting the two statements or principles together, we understand that He was only a leader because of His message. He was a leader because God said so. Now, and that is to say plainly that He was leading a people into a message and by the message for God and with God. Well, tell me how it was done previously. God hasn't changed. There is absolutely no difference between this and Moses and Paul's leadership. But that's the thing. People say, well, these two, yes. This one, no. That's what they said in Israel. Moses, yes. This one, no. Well, just a minute. This one was spoken of by Moses. Oh, don't give me that tripe. How in the world can you be a child of God and supposed to, and your testimony is one, I obey, I obey, I obey, and you don't have any attention even listening? Now who's the child of God? Now who's in the adoption and child training? Ha! Fivefold ministry's a bunch of cutthroats and the people are no better. There is absolutely no difference between this and Moses and Paul's leadership, the one that Brother Branham has. Indeed, there is no leadership apart from a message, because we are dealing with or being dealt with by God. And the root of this is in Deuteronomy, where the people and God have a covenant that God will not deal with individuals when it comes to His Word. It'll come by a prophet. And from that point on, it's handled by wise men, which are fivefold ministry, and scribes who are not, who can write it and quote it, but they can't handle it. And a woman can't even be a scribe. Find me one in the Bible. Now we're talking about the straight word of Almighty God in preaching. So a woman can't even sit down and make up a sermon and publish it because she's not allowed to preach. She can't sit down and write something to give her innermost secret thoughts and great thoughts as from God. And women are doing it where they're not preaching. How can that be God when God said it wasn't? And the point is, how can that which God says is God not be God? What it is. We see that's all a matter to who the person is or persons who are listening and receiving. Exactly right. And the bride will never, never turn down the voice of the husband. And Deuteronomy can never be disassociated from, now we're talking about leadership through a prophet, can never be disassociated from the 3rd chapter of Exodus 7-10. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. God says he's going to do it. Then he chickens out. No. It's the way God does things. He said, I'm going to do it, but you're going to be my front man. What do they call that? The shill? Listen, I'm a little disrespectful right now for one reason. I want you to get to know this. Moses is nothing. Paul is nothing. William Branham is nothing. And none of us is nothing when it comes to God. Brother Branham himself said, I was just the voice of one standing there that he used. He said, the highest I aspired to was be a skunk skinner. Trapper. Remember you talked more about skunks than anything else? Pooh. Hands must have smelled horrible. Soak them in Lysol. Let's keep reading. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. See? Now, Deuteronomy 18 can never be disassociated from Exodus 3, 7 to 10, because Exodus 3, 7 to 10 is based on Genesis 15, 12 to 16, which is originals or spoken word is original seed. So let's go down and see the original seed. Revelation, I beg your pardon, Genesis 15, and it is 12 to 16. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they'll come up with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come thither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass when the sun went down as dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. God passed between it, making that covenant. That spoken word is original seed. Now, notice what he said here. They're going to go down there. They're going to suffer. They're going to be afflicted. And I'm going to go, not I will judge that nation, and I'll do so and so. Now, never mind what you think. That is the Alpha. And the Omega, being what it was using Moses, is what lay in this seed. So therefore, right in the book of Genesis, and all through Scripture, you understand the principle. Never try to guess what lies in that word. Take it and find out what the real truth is as you go down. And if you make a judgment apart from the fulfillment of that scripture, you cut your throat and you're no more a child of God than nothing. You understand what I'm saying? See, this is the law of Alpha and Omega. This is the law that that spoken word is original seed. It's a seed. And what lies in there, you don't know until the seed is planted and the seed comes forth in a harvest. Now, you may be the best horticulturist or theologian in the world, and you're still going to fall flat on your face if you think that God does not interpret His Word by bringing it to pass. And you are going to find that every single time with prophets, you will know after the fact. Do you know we're still waiting to find out about foot washing? Whatever Brother Branham said was very fine, but I'm sure there's something far beyond it too. We can look up and see after the fact. But everything with you and me is after the fact. We didn't know until Brother Branham said we were back there, all the sons of God and the morning stars shouting and clapping their hands and rejoicing. We forgot it. We bypassed the word body. We had something going for us up there, eternal in the heavens. We were in communication with it somehow. We're born again. We get in communication again. You say, what does it mean? Don't ask me. I'm just telling you what it is. Wait and find out until after the fact. When it picks you up, if you're standing here, you go pick it up. Then you'll know after the fact. That's where patience comes in. This is the patience of the saints. They know they're ready to learn after the fact. Oh, I'm going to find these things. I'm going to do these things. Oh, sit down and shut up before you get knocked down. Prove you never had anything in the first place. God will flatten you. God doesn't say step aside while I'm coming down. If you're not stepped aside, you're going to have problems. If you don't believe me, read the book of the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Read the plagues. They're going to gnaw their tongues in pain and cuss God. They're going to know the lambs in the vicinity. Say, hide us and wrath the lamb. They've been screaming ears. Oh, lovely lamb, lovely lamb, lovely lamb. Are they saying, hide us? Huh? Somebody pass you candy and you're waiting for this delicious confection and it comes to you. You don't want to eat it? Something's nuts somewhere. Even being just a common idiot would tell you, hey, if I've been looking for this candy all this time and this great treat that's coming, and this is it. Either you don't know what that candy was. Don't worry, it won't be a bar of soap. Be what you didn't bargain for. Sometimes I'm trying to tell you, I can't understand people say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, love him, love him, love him, love him, hallelujah. And they're going to say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, Brother Bill, that's them other guys. Oh, no, it isn't. How many other guys? 5.5 billion. What other guys out of 5.5 billion? What I'm trying to show you is this. The mind of man, apart from a revelation, and under the influence of the Holy Ghost, is nothing but a worm bed of garbage. It's just not there at all. Now, to attempt to refute this, what I've been teaching you is to make Paul a liar rather than the infallible, vindicated prophet, apostle of the Gentiles. Paul the Apostle challenged the Corinthian church. Now, what did he challenge them on? Church order. They were walking in confusion due to the gifts and the elevation of people who were causing schisms in the church. And he said, what came the word of God out for you unto you only? He said, did this word come out of you? Are you the prophets? Are you the one that's vindicated? Why? They weren't even fivefold ministers. They were a bunch of elders who hadn't attained to the place of the fivefold because they weren't called. They chose to be. Or full of the Holy Ghost. Let him acknowledge the things that I write, nobody else writes. This is the word of Almighty God. Now, how could he say that? He said it because he was vindicated in Romans, the 15th chapter. And in 15 chapter 15 to 19, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. He says right here, I'm telling you, I have been positioned by God, but only by grace. Nothing meritorious on my part, nothing deserving, nothing that I had as a person of the world. But the grace of God set me apart, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. I, yes, I, and nobody else. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles, that's a worship, might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. If I have therefore whereof I make glory through Christ Jesus in these things which pertain to God, he lets them know, listen, don't try to sell me short, bud. I might have been a skunk going around killing the bride. And all that I had in my head concerning God was really a heap of manure. He said, I'm the chief manure head of the whole bunch of you. But he said, don't try to sell me short. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which God hath not wrought by me. And he's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in every single person in any ministry to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, even round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of God with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And nobody else did what I did. So shut up, sit down, and put up, or goodbye. The same man wrote after the first admonition, the second of the most, reject as a heretic. And he said, if you are ignorant, you are willfully ignorant, just keep being that way. How in the world can anybody worship Jesus Christ or be in the rapture with that attitude? Now, look at verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. He said, I have been positioned by God himself to do it, the prophet apostle, that the offering up of the Gentiles, or the worship of the Gentiles to God, may now be acceptable by the Holy Ghost. So, all right, we go to Romans 11 chapter with that in mind, and we read verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. I don't take second seat to anybody, and I don't draw back for 15 seconds. You want to challenge me? And yet that guy was as meek as dishwater. But just like Moses, you put your thumb on him and you get your whole hand bitten off. So, oh, Brother Dale, you got a bad spirit. Oh, no, sister, you got the spirit of an idiot. I'm not sick. I'm very healthy and very, very wide awake and very well. See, I take everything the prophet said and take it back to the Bible. I got no problem at all. We say, what do you mean? I got the same spirit. I don't go running around gifts and everything else and try to destroy anybody. If God wanted me to do something, he'd ask me to do it. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. A leader governs. A leader leads. A leader is the prominent one, the imminent one. He's the one in control and in charge for God. Whose faith follow. Whose revelation keep in your heart and mind. Considering the end of their behavior. And what is the end of such behavior? Right up into glory in the first resurrection. Verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. No, you admit what I say is right. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied by them. So how do you get a heart full of grace? By the word. Well, you see, Brother Dale, the grace of God is different. The grace of God precedes the word. You're crazy. He is the word. It comes from the word. I'm in good mood this morning, exceptionally sarcastic in a nice way. If you can't get it, it isn't going to be my fault. I don't mean to cow you down. I just mean for you to smarten up. Light up is the saying yesterday. Isn't that what the term is they use all around the world? Light up. Light up. It used to be a cigarette. Now it's light up, meaning smarten up, kid. You're blowing your brains with a bunch of LSD and all that other junk. And also in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it's unprofitable. I've seen preachers beat the people down and take all their money. There's no profit left. I know one guy got so bitter he's bankrupt now. He got into bad things. Tried to help him. He wouldn't listen. He thought I was after his money too. I didn't take a nickel from him and want a nickel. In fact, if he wants money, I'll give him money. That's no problem. See, leadership. Galatians, the third chapter, tells you something. And in 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Under what devilish spiritual power have you fallen, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? What does it mean, evidently set forth crucified? The fact that he was risen, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, God giving Paul this vindicating ministry, he proved that Jesus died, was acceptable to God. God raised him, made him mediator, intercessor, and sent back the Holy Ghost. And when he sent back the Holy Ghost, he sent back the Holy Ghost primarily to set the church in order, so that God could be glorified and worshiped properly through the leadership of a fivefold ministry whose word came from a vindicated prophet and was spread amongst the people. 5:7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? 2 Thessalonians. 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Now you got a twofold proposition here. There are people that don't know God, and they're mighty proud about it. We don't know your Trinitarian God, you bunch of Roman Catholics. We worship Allah, one true God. And the Jews say, oh yeah, that's exactly true. We worship one true God, you bunch of foolish Christians. You can't cut God in three pieces. But they forgot that we are people who don't cut God in three pieces. They're not even willing to listen to God. They don't know him. See? And then there are those who do know him on the ground there is one God. And they got that all mixed up. And they being not the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the end time. In the beginning they got off the gospel. At the end they're still off the gospel. And the gospel is the epitomization of everything. Because in there it talks about God. Or rather the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about the Holy Spirit and talks about God. That's the definitive revealer is the word. And they still haven't got it. And to the end time God comes down. But the definitive for them is they're off the gospel. How are they ever going to get to God? How are they going to know God? What's God going to do for them? He's going to judge them and send them to the lake of fire. There's nothing else he can do. They don't fall in line. Now we go to Romans, the second chapter. And in Romans, the second chapter, herein we read, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now it says right here, in the days when God shall judge the secrets of men, what's really in their hearts. And it's going to be based upon the gospel, showing them all the talk the world says today, oh, we've got Jesus, hallelujah. They still don't have the gospel. And if they don't have the gospel, they don't have Jesus. And they don't have God. But, hey, they're not going to tell them that. Oh, Brother Bale, you're so hard. If you just lighten up, you know, and just preach love, love, and never mind the Bible, because that's your big trouble there. You go to the Bible, Bible, Bible. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to be Brother Bale, and you can do what you want. Revelation 10 and 7. As we read that a while ago, when the mighty one on the throne comes down, the mighty messenger, God himself comes down, there's going to be a prophet to meet him. They don't believe that. Yet it's always been a prophet that God uses when he comes down. Brother Branham said, when you see God come down from heavens and stand before men and declare himself as ever he did, he's talking about himself and Paul and Moses and every one of these great men. And in 1 Peter, we go to the 4th chapter. And in 4, and in verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. For if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, if it started that way, it's going to end that way. And for God to judge by his own gospel, and the gospel having gone astray for 2,000 years, and we've had nobody here to dynamically prove that he can tell us what the truth is, God would be unjust if he didn't send somebody to restore the word. And he says he does after a great healing revival. Everybody says, hallelujah, Jesus coming. Shut up, he ain't coming. Because he hasn't sent the word yet. Hasn't been restored. Now once it's restored, he's got to come. Now how did God bring the word? By a pillar of fire, God himself. Who are you? I'm Jesus, I'm Jehovah. Not the man in flesh. The Son mediates, intercedes. God is God. God comes down. He's got to fulfill his oath, his covenant to his Son. I'm going to put all things under my Son's feet. Now, if God's his own Son, he puts everything under his own feet. What's the double talk for? Why don't you come and tell you flat? I am the Father, and I am the Son, and we are one. In fact, I'm my own Father, and I'm my own Son. That's Babylonian hogwash. The child is the husband of the father. Mother, the child is the husband of the... Oh, God, have pity. Now, and it's a big gate, and then read again. For the time has come that judgment becometh us of God. And if it first began at us, in other words, it happened the first time back there in the first age, what shall be the end of them that shall not obey the gospel? that's at the end time. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? The righteous, who are they? The ones that fall in the form of Abel, who are righteous with the righteousness of God because they have the true revelation, and they worship him not according to deed, but according to faith, which can end up in a deed. But the worship is in spirit and in truth, and spirit and in truth is intrinsically a philosophy. Huh? You bet your life it is. It's passive until you make it active. See, that's the difference between passive and active faith. All right. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, 10 to 14. And it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, you prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of times the Spirit of Christ which was in them did testify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should fall, in other words, the results of it, where it would lead to. In other words, an estimation of what comes out of it. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. No heavenly being can even know what the ordained minister of God knows, and in his proper place with his proper gifts, anointed by the Holy Ghost revelation. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, hold it. He wasn't revealed before because that's coming. That's a book that John wrote. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. He that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner behavior, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if we call on God, who with respect, without respect to persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, God doesn't care who you are and who I am, you're going to get judged. Now remember, we're redeemed not with silver and gold and those things that are in there. Now, no one who claims to believe the Bible will refute the scripture that I have read. Rather, they will affirm and defend it as the living word of the living God, but place their affirmation and faith and obedience in the misreading of 1 Peter 1 and 2 because of their previous wrongly divided knowledge of Scripture, as in John 14, John 16, and 1 John. So let's go first right off the bat to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, and in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Now in here these people are talking about being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And in that sanctification by the Holy Spirit, they will come to an obedience. And the thought comes in, what obedience do you mean? What do you mean to be obedient to God? And right away, because the claiming of the Holy Spirit has sanctified you and put you aside for this, suddenly you are beyond the Scripture. You understand what I'm saying? Suddenly they begin to seek, not the Scripture to know the truth. Remember, Paul said, a wrong Jesus, a wrong gospel, a wrong spirit. Now, if you have one wrong, they're all wrong. You got to get them all together. Now, Peter can't come along here and say, now listen, dearly beloved people, your obedience to God is apart from that word. Your obedience to God is apart from the leadership of that word. Now, Paul has said it, and Paul goes to the Gentiles. Now, even if Peter meant other than what I'm telling you, Peter will be a liar. And I, as a Gentile, have no faith in him. The whole word's got to come together. Now look at it again. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, right with Paul. Through the setting apart unto God of the Spirit unto obedience, even the sprinkling of the blood. Paul says the same thing. Once you're a child of God and you come to the blood and you're baptized in water, there is no way you will not receive the Holy Ghost. Everybody says, oh, look, start pleading, start hoping you get, oh, my, if you can only get, oh, my, oh, shap. I read in the book of Hebrews time after time the truth. Maybe I can find it by luck. See? Okay, over here. Speaking of the sacrifice that was made once for all. That's 10 and 12. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's going on right now. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now see, whereof the Holy Ghost is also witness. In other words, if you've been truly under the blood, baptized in water, there is no way you will not be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that's only if you are saved. So Peter here is not mouthing off something that we are not aware of. But you see, I'm going to show you where the people went haywire. Using that very scripture. And thereby they bypass the word, or they take the word with what they believe the Holy Spirit himself is teaching them, and they're wrong. Because they've already repudiated the word, claiming the Holy Ghost, and saying, well, bless God, he'll lead me. And if he leads them plumb past the word or into error, it doesn't mean one thing. But let's go to 14 and John 14:16. I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another company me by the ever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and shall be in you. I'll not leave your comforts, I will come. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you live also. In that day you'll know I am in the Father, you and me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now there you are, they all scream, the love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. It says right here, there's a word involved. This shoots everybody plumb out of the water that doesn't go to the word and yet claims the Holy Ghost. And you know, if you don't divide the word right, you haven't got a true baptism. Now this narrows it down. This is a preaching people hate. They can't stand me saying we've turned the corner is upward. You pass the perpendicular, it's all over. I know they don't like it. I'm sorry, that's their tough luck. See? He that hath my commandments keepeth them, he that is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Now you see, that's the Holy Ghost shed abroad in your heart. And what's the conduit of the Holy Ghost? The Word. No other way. Now, let's go to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things. Remember, whatever I've said unto you. Now listen, not one of these verses can supersede the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians that tells you how God does it through a prophet and a fivefold ministry. So therefore, the Word of God absolutely must have the Holy Ghost working through it. And the Holy Ghost must have the Word of God to work through or forget it. And that does not come any other way but through a legitimate fivefold ministry. And that has to come through the direct revelation of the truth of the prophet. You say, what about the ages we didn't have one? Well, the life was still coming up. But we're talking at the end time now. This is not something for the middle. This is for the end, and the middle, and the end, and the beginning are the same. John 16. And you go to the verses 7 to 15. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He's feeding, I go away. If I go on away, the comfort will not come. If I depart, I'll send him unto you. And he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, righteousness, because they go to my Father. You see me no more judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, and you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come to guide you into all truth, he shall not speak to himself. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak and show you things to come. In other words, he's going to get his direct ministry from God himself. God's got to do it through the Spirit. He shall glorify me and receive of mine, show to you all things that the Father hath in mind. There said, I shall take of mine, show it unto you. All right, we go to 1 John 2 and 20. And here's the one they really love. This is the big thing. Hey, don't tell me God doesn't show me things. 1 John 2 and 20. And it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, anointing, and you know all things. And in verse 27, But the anointing which you have received him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointed teach you all things in his truth, and is no lie, even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. Now you know John's just a big mouth liar right there. He cut his throat. He's already said, we know who's of God, he that hears us. And if they don't hear us, they're not of God. Now, big mouth says right here, just a minute, I just fooled you and I said that. I'm just kidding. Why, you've got enough yourself, little children. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. God's an idiot and he loves idiots. Don't give me that stuff. You couldn't even be a priest with something wrong with your little finger or your ear. Now, God ordains idiots and ignorant and belligerent and disobedient and disbelievers. John's telling them flat, listen, I am the one with the word revealed. You listen to me as I listen to God. So therefore you are not listening to me, you are listening to God. And if you are a listener of God, you will listen to me. Therefore, you don't have any man teaching you. And you don't need anybody to come in and supersede me. Because we have handled the word of life. We have dealt with God in human flesh. We handled, we saw him. Yes. Now, anybody comes by and tries to refute the intimacy of those men with God, and Paul's vindication have to be completely gone. Serpent seed, rebellious, obnoxious, foul, malevolent, with the malice of Satan and the cowardice of Cain. Brother, keep and sister, keep yourselves in the word. These people therefore unwittingly reject the authentic and authoritative message of every age, sowing thereby the seed of discrepancy beginning in the time of the Apostle Paul. And whoever it is in Revelation 22 and 10, that's the one that opens the seals. Based on Revelation 10 and 4, John closed the seals. They're rejected. This they do because of misdividing Revelation 22:18-19. 22:18-19 are those that add from the word and take to the word. Not knowing this goes back to 1 Corinthians 2:7-15. You see, they're thinking of some little special thing over here in the book of Revelation, which is the harvest chapter. But you got to go to 1 Corinthians 2. And there you read verse 7-15. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore the proof is strictly different from the time you meet him in the air. That's the time you're going to get firm, confirmed. That's the time you'll be ordained as to whether you're seed or non-seed. That's the time whether you know it or not, you're going to be separated under discernment, under vindication. That doesn't mean anything. God is faithful, by whom we were called. Paul the Apostle, not flaunting, but showing his authority. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech your brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you. Brother Branham said, let 10 get there, the rapture takes place. Now you perfectly joined together in the same mind, understanding, in the same judgment or discernment, which way it's going to go, where you're headed. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there be some contention among you. They're amongst us. Now I say this, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also thou, Sister Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel of Christ and so on. All right. Now with that, that was in Corinthians 1. And the two, the beginning was 7 over here. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, and the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto his glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now his authentication is back here, and here's how he's telling you it's all in the Spirit. It's written, I have not seen your ear heard in the heart of man, the things that God prepared them love him. But God has revealed them by his Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, say the spirit of man that's in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us God, which we also speak in words which man's wisdom doesn't teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spirit to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He can neither can know them, because the Spirit is earned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And yet Paul said a spiritual man would go right along with Paul. What's he saying here? Your spirit, which was allowed of God but not of God, can betray you, can fool you. The decision lies in the soul where the seed is. And if that is not down in there, there is no way that you will receive the word of God in truth, which you cannot receive from God by God himself, but through that which is ordained of God, which in this end time, never mind what's before, forget it, I'm not interested. Is William Branham ordained, vindicated prophet of God in the true fivefold ministry, and you can do what you want. And if you haven't been called to it, you'll be nothing but a cord date in the barn. The people therefore unwittingly reject the authoritative messengers of every age, sowing the seed of discrepancy, beginning with Paul, right to the last messenger, Revelation 3:14. That's in Laodicea. And Revelation 10:7, proving he's a prophet. And whoever it is in Revelation 22:10 that opens the seals, closed therein. So, all right. We come right down here. And we haven't read yet Galatians 1:6, which is the closing on. I just recapped a minute. And the Apostle Paul says here, and I won't have time to read too much because time's going out. I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. That's Messiah. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. See, the Galatians had the same trouble the Corinthians did. But though we are an angel of heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have already preached, which was vindicated, that man's accursed, and I'm cursed with him. As we said before, say shall we again, if any man preach, anybody, any gospel, other than that you originally received by vindication, that person's accursed. For now do I persuade God or men? He said, I've got nothing to do with God or men. I don't seek to please men. If I please men, I couldn't be the servant of Christ. I'd betray him. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which you preach is not after of me is not after man. I did not receive it from a man. Neither was I taught it by anybody, not even an angel. But it was revealed to me by Jesus Christ himself. For you have heard of my conversion that passed from the Jews' religion, how beyond measure I did so and so and so and so. And then he proves, he said, I had nothing to do with anybody whatsoever at all. And he said, I got it that way. Now, I'm going to take you and show you that this Alpha has to have an Omega, if indeed there is an Omega. And if there is an Omega, it's going to be exactly like the Alpha. And we go to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, which you all know. It's one of my favorite places to go. And it's 13:14. And he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Anything taken from it, and God doeth it, then men should fear him. He's telling you that God has established laws in his universe and in himself and in the people, in the word. In every single place there is a principle that cannot fail and cannot change. If you try to change it, it shows exactly what you are. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. neither God nor His way of doing anything ever changes. No matter what you think. Spoken words, original seed, God stands by. Moreover, I saw under the place, under the sun, the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness and iniquity was there. He saw the two vines. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And I said in my heart, according to the state of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and they might see themselves as beasts. In other words, it tells you even the very sons of God can stand right there and know they're wrong. They're just like beasts, unless God steps in. And that's what John the Baptist did. The bride would have been utterly condemned with the world and nothing left except John stepped in. God did it that, God's always done it that way. And there's no way you can change it. And yet people think they're following the Holy Ghost. Oh, bless God, I've got the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I know this, I know that. Don't tell me. That's merely an anointing. Hey, let's face it. There is a principle of life. Such as what Brother Branham said when Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. He said, yes, and any dirty, rotten prostitute that gets pregnant can say, I have gotten a man from the Lord because God laid down that law. The law's been laid down. The Holy Spirit can anoint people's flesh left and right. All right. Now that you may understand fully and in detail the exact spiritual position in which they place themselves by reason of misunderstanding and refusing to be corrected, because to them they have no need of correction and lack nothing, in the day of 1 Corinthians 49:9-58, which tells you the great mystery of the resurrection and the transformation into immortality and the rapture. Now, we refer not only to the end time democratic, Laodicean age of Revelation 3, but the same people are described in Jude 11. Where we see three manifestations of evil exemplified at three different times by three different people. But now a repeat at the end time, which end time is just before the second coming. So let's go there to Jude, little book before Revelation. And there you're going to see something. It says here, woe unto them, they have gone in the way of Cain. Now that speaks just before the burning. And they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now all of this happened at the time of the coming out of Egypt. And it's going to happen again at the very end time because it says so, because this is the end time book. So don't try to make it simply historical. You can't do it. All right. Now, number one, the case of Cain. Cain is accepted for at face value as an evil person. And he stands in the minds of so-called Christians, theologians, and the whole bunch. He stands naked in their judgment, for he is contrary, angry, rebellious, and a murderer. He is believed to be the son of Adam in spite of what John says. He's the son of Satan, and they think he's simply devoid of love because he turned his back on love and became cruel by choice. Hogwash. He was born cruel, despicable, and a murderer. Now notice Balaam. He is not as clear a choice as Cain. He's malevolent. He's not as a malevolent, rebellious person as Cain. For he has his good points. He can prophesy. He knows great secrets. He can seek God and how to be approved of God. He has a key, which is a parable, which he utters before God like a mantra. And God answers and gives him visions and revelation. But in his heart, he's avaricious. And he backslides over his greed. He's a weak person who should have done better. He had much from God, but is an unfaithful steward, and he lost out. Now, that's what they call him. And then there's Korah, who with Dathan and Abiram formed a group of 250 princes, ministers and preachers and elders and you name it, and students and what have you, who withstood Moses. These people also are rebellious children of God, who got lifted up
with pride and became hard and stiff-necked, and therefore they were cut off because they weren't obedient, and God took them off the scene. This proves you can be full of the Holy Spirit of God and enjoy goodly ministers, but then you can backslide to a complete sinful state like a dog going back to his vomit the south of the wallow and fall from grace and salvation and be condemned to hell. This to them is Matthew 7:19-23. They come saying, well, we did many wonderful things in your names. We had gifts. We were full of the Holy Ghost. We did great things. But he says, I never knew you. Depart from me to the hell prepared for devil and his angels. But here is the truth, which is vindicated, revealed, but not received, pure, unadulterated. The fact of the matter is that Cain is pure, unadulterated serpent seed. And the truth is not in him. He is a worshiper because the devil was a worshiper and he acts like his father. Murdering worshiper. That's where you get blood religions. Got them right today in the world. Cain is not a believer and neither was his father. Serpent seed is described in John 37-48 and their end is Matthew 23:32-36. How much time we got? 10. Let's read like a house of fire. I was... take too much scripture and take too long, we get everybody... well, you cut. You tell you what you can do. You make a fresh tape and cut the prayer off on this one, and we go to 7. All right, where am I at? John 8. And it's 37. If I know you're Abraham's children, see, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. See, 2:1. One has no word. I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do that which you've seen with your father. The answer said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said, if we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. See, they knew serpent seed, those dirty birds. Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me and proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer in the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father. Now listen, the devil doesn't have his own word. He hasn't got one word that's his own. So he takes God's words and perverts it and makes a lie, right? Amen. Let's get that down flat. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you can pin one thing on me, convincing me of sin? If I say the truth, why don't you believe me? He that's of God heareth God's words. You hear them not because you are not of God. That's exactly what John said. Now where's all your love and everything else? I'm not against love, but don't get fooled by this crud out here in the world they call love. And deny the very God that appeared in our midst. Come on, what kind of love is that? You know what that is? That's making adultery while you make your wife stand there and watch you enjoy some whore. Or vice versa. Boy, do I cut her down flat. I don't intend to draw my words back for anybody. The answer then answered the Jews and said, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and got a devil? Oh boy, that's the best they could do. What is their end? I'll tell you their end. It's over here in this bunch of time of Jesus in Matthew 23:32-36. And he says here, fill up the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some you'll kill and crucify, and some you'll scourge in your synagogues, and persecute the city to city, in order that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Zacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation, and it said the same thing for this generation we live in. Don't try to fool with God. Balaam, he was actually born with the ability to prophesy. Oh, yes, he was. But he was a false prophet, not the seed of Abraham, but of Abraham's foolish nephew Lot, because no word came from him, nor unto him, that he accepted. Like Lot, he was unaware of the present promised judgment, the coming son, and those things that Abraham knew. He simply was a gifted person who could foretell the future. Truth as doctrine had no part in him. He died fighting the people of God. He was, in my mind, another Cain, but more refined. He used politics instead of murder. He was ecumenical. He called it love. We're all brethren. Like all false prophets, he was in it for the money. Korah was a Levite or a ministry, minister under God, who joined himself with other men, business leaders. They formed an organization based on their gifts, which were only imparted to them because of Moses and the law that God gave. If it hadn't been for Moses and the law, there wouldn't have been any gifts among them. But they took the gifts and left the word. They took the gifts and left the giver. They are make-believers. They are Israel after the flesh. They even had their names in the genealogical orders, records, but they lost out because all Israel is not Israel of the Spirit. So today the church member is gifted, not born again. Money-oriented, not spiritual. Now we see all this at the end time. The false cults with no regard to the true God. Plus we have Jannes and Jambres. There is no way these religious people see themselves. Now listen, there is no way that these religious people see themselves as deceived and deceiving. There is no way that they will line up and say, I am part of Jannes and Jambres, or I am a part of Balaam, I am a part of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. There is no way they will say it. No, sir. Just like these men will line themselves and say, I am the truth. There is no way these religious people see themselves as deceived and deceiving. And if we think the Pentecostals are bad with true anointing and false word, where do Baptists like Criswell and Bill Graham come in, who call the Roman Catholics dedicated to the great fundamentals of Christianity and hold the same beliefs as they do? And I've got their quotes. I've just put them together. That is their testimony. Like Norman Grubb, deceived by ecumenism, when he saw the churches all coming together, and he said, this is the greatest thing God has ever done because love is bringing us together. Like fun it is, the devil is. But it cannot be said that they do not love Jesus and true and their fellow men and wish all to be saved. This is the big lie, the big thing with them. We love Jesus. Oh, yes, we do. And they go to 1 John 3 and they talk about Cain. They think he's a brother. He's not a brother. How could he be a brother when he doesn't have the same father? The same life is not in him. The flesh is part of his mother. Who gives a rip about that? He's a hybrid. You see? Judas loved Jesus. The Bible said he greeted him with an affectionate kiss, but he could not take the truth. Now here is what you are seeing. These Laodiceans and Nicolaitans, Laodicean preacher, are all one piece of cloth. And in turning down the vindicated truth, they now anchor more firmly than ever in their religious experiences, whereby they claim they are vindicated and proven by the Scripture to be so. These become their absolutes and innermost desires to attain to them. They try to achieve them by fasting and prayer. Now, there is absolutely no doubt that they can turn to the Scripture where phenomenal things occur. But the Bible does not give those events as scriptural pattern. No. Whereby one judges himself in a relationship with God in worship and service. Now you recall we read in 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter 13 to 14 and 7, 1 to 2. And also 1 Kings 3 to 15. And other scripture in there. We haven't got time to read them because we read them the last time. In there you saw certain phenomena where the God came in like a cloud of flame. And he filled the building and the priests couldn't minister. Now that means everybody can fall in the Spirit, run around and fall around and every old thing. And they go around where Solomon had a dream. And God appeared to him, oh, I'm waiting for God's dream. I'm waiting for God's dream. The vindicated prophet's here. Here's the word. I'm vindicated dream. And Brother Branham said, falling down is of the devil. We had a prophet face to face with God and they turned him down for some kind of experience. They're looking for experiences. On the day of Pentecost, they talk with tongues, though they want that. And they forget the same prophet that told about that said that same Holy Ghost that allowed them to talk in tongues at the end time would allow the same thing and anoint any flesh upon God's high earth here right today. right before the great tribulation, right before the coming. They'd be doing it, and they'd be going to hell. And at the same time, the Son of Man ministry had come through God Himself coming down here, separating the people. And they couldn't tell the Son of Man from the Son of God. And they died it. But you see what they do? They take this and thereby supersede everything because they can go to the Scripture. But they can't divide it. And they foolishly arrogate to themselves that which they have no right to arrogate. And they end up in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Now, they bypass the giver of Ephesians 1 for the gifts. The word divides the people into two groups, bride and non-bride. But the non-bride claims even more stoutly and powerfully and with numbers than the bride that she is the bride. See? There's the long and short. The sum total. The misdividing of Scripture. The misinterpretation of Scripture. The mistiming of Scripture. The misapplying of Scripture. They have come to the full fruit of 2 Corinthians 11. In fact, to them that does not even exist. That's like a fairy tale. Oh, yes, back there, but we're different. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got this. We've got the other thing. And it is not true. All seven ages have had a glimmer of light, but now at the last time, we are at the fulfillment. And those that do not believe that have made the seven church ages merely historical. There were seven churches back there described. They don't longer exist. They're just examples. Now, since according to Acts 2, and Moses desired that all prophesy, the word does not really count anymore. And they have made it a stepping stone, not a finality, and end up in Gnosticism. Hope you caught what I said. They don't understand that the word is final. They add to it. They take from it. They mess with it. They're Gnostics. There is no difference between saying there is a further revelation and another vindication because they base it on experience and reason, and a lot of them are looking for it right now. That's why you got your Shelleys and your Rourkes and your Reedmans and everybody else that come by, and it doesn't matter what they say. Oh, they're going to dress the bride, they're going to do this, they're going to do the other thing, and they're leading people right down the Broadway. And I'm going to stand what I preach this morning, and I know I should have had even a little more time to go in this just word by word and tear it all apart and put it together. But they do not believe the word. They go by experiences that they haven't even got. Yep. I'll tell you something. They build a house of straw. Not one of the little three pigs build a house out of brick. None. Foolish virgin didn't. The make-believer didn't, and the serpent seed didn't. The only one that built the house out of brick is number four, which is really the number of man in a limited sense of the word, having come out of the earth, and that's the true seed of Adam that came from the true seed of God. So there's your picture of Brother Branham in leadership. Could he lead them? He wasn't meant to lead them. Could he dress them? He wasn't meant to dress them. What did he do? He brought about the groundwork for the just judgments of God so that nobody can say, Lord, you did not give us that chance. When Brother Branham died, before he died, my dream was, in my dream, I saw him dead and all, and I said, heard myself say, he'll rise the third day. And I was quite sure Brother Branham would come back in his private resurrection to give the world another great big chance, and they'd still turn him down. One day a voice in my heart said, the one rose from the dead, they will not believe. Why? Because belief comes by vindication. Don't try to change the word of God. Don't try to look for this and look for that. Brother, sister, we have seen it. Whatever comes will come. Just leave it. Most people can't do it. One of these days life will leave you and me. What are you going to do then? Nothing. Best to have your journeying kit already. Full of the life and the bread of God. All right, that's it for today. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time we've had together. Knowing, Lord, in this great hour that Brother Branham preached leadership almost 30 years ago, now 29, a little better. We know it's even better for us today than it was then when we heard it. When I heard it there, I could just sit there, Lord, and kind of going over my head, part into my heart. Knowing, Lord, that the people were turning him down. But now today, Lord, it's not just people turning him down. The great understanding and the privileges that he led us. And now this same word is leading us. And the same Holy Spirit, pillar of fire, God, is here with that word leading us. And that word now being enlivened more and more, word by word within us, by the Spirit of life within us, God the Father brooding us as a hen broods the chickens, only this time an eagle, to take us out of here. What a tremendous thing it is, Lord. Father, we thank you for your people present here and those that couldn't come. We know roads are bad, people sick. We just ask the greatest blessing upon them, Father. Encourage them and help them. May the grace of God motivate them. May the love of God fill them. And may their lives be full of the glory of God for their sake and for your sake as a great witness unto the great God who appeared amongst us and is the great lover of our soul, is the husband of the bride. And Father, we know that there is a love that comes from just even saying those words that could not be there before, because this time it is a love from the depth of an understanding, from a discernment which has been proven. It is a marriage, Lord, that is not being brought out and started together by two people that are simply impassioned and enamored and think they see things. Oh, God, we are those who have been through it, and we don't have to think we see things. We saw things, we know things, and we know him and are known to him. And we're happy and satisfied that it's live, die, sink, or swim. If you are not for us and we are not for you, then, Lord, we're not interested. Live, die, sink, swim, Lord. That's where we're going day to day. Thank you for your grace and mercy. No matter the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed, wonderful, marvelous Savior, mediator, intercessor, sitting on the Father's throne, waiting to bring a bride unto himself. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.